You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 36. And in our trying to get the benefit of why God has given Jeremiah, so that we can have the advantage of understanding. And so here in Jeremiah, remember, God is filling in all the little pieces of why in the days of the last king, Zedekiah, why God is going to allow Jerusalem and the temple to be destroyed. Now, having said that, and God giving back into earlier history with Jehoiakim in chapter 36. And so as we did that, chapter 36, going back 17 years to Jehoiakim, and God had Jeremiah write, had Baruch, his secretary, write everything that Jeremiah had said up to that point, and had him write it all down. And then he had Baruch go into the temple and deliver that, because Jeremiah was not allowed in to the temple at that point. Now, and so therefore we shared together that the people heard in the temple, the people that are in the temple, hear Jeremiah as he hear Baruch as he reads all the words that God had given to Jeremiah. And we read in chapter 36 and in verse 9 in the process, without reading it them, the people heard what Jeremiah had to say by way of God. And they've been hearing it, and now they had it particularly read to them by Baruch in written form, just like in front of you. Now, having said that, here's the people. And you want to ask yourself, what would be the reaction of the people to the reading, of Jeremiah that they listened to? So therefore, I want to have that in front of me. And you know, humans tend to go, look to the leadership, look to whatever's going on, like in a football game or something. Here's team one playing, and here's the other team. And we watch, and some cheer for this team, some cheer for that team, some don't cheer for anybody, and they're there. That's what they do. Humans, we tend to look at our politic and our government and everything, and we look to them and we watch them as they legislate and do all kinds of things, and we live under the results of the government. But we don't tend, the normal person tends to go in the grocery store and they cook their meal and eat their breakfast. They live a normal life, and everything going on is sort of like a spectator. So, are people the same? Yes, that's how they do. And everyone else is causing whatever's going to happen, and the people just have to go with it. In this case, they heard Jeremiah, and hold your finger here, and go over to chapter 5 again, to remember in chapter 5, what do we know? How do the people respond to the words that were given to them verbally and written? What is their response? In chapter 5, you recall, chapter 5, verse 30, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What is horrible? What is so awesome? Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule in their rule, the way they run things. The prophets prophesied falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, by their hands. They run, they govern. And my people love to have it so. They go back and forth, and that's what it is. It really isn't a concern to us people, because we just do what we do. We don't call, we don't care. They all do what they do. And we leave all the results that we ultimately, that affect us, to them. And when you come to the end of verse 31, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do with the results? You didn't do anything. You loved to have it. You didn't care. Now, what's going to happen when it happens? That's the people. Back over to chapter 36. And in chapter 36, you'll remember the princes, the rulers, they heard. They had Baruch read the book to them. What was the reaction of the princes, the leaders? What was their reaction? And in chapter 36, and picking up in verse 16, now it came to pass when they had heard all the words that they were afraid, both one and the other, and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. In other words, it was so awakening, so sobering, so direct. And the leaders, the princes knew. They knew. They knew. People didn't care, but the princes, they knew what was going to happen. And they were afraid. And the word afraid is to fear, to be frightened is the word. Now, so that's what they did. Thirdly, it was read to the king. And the king went, you remember, verse 22, 23, the king went and he burned each page. He burned the whole scroll that Baruch had read from. He burned the whole thing. And all his friends and people that hang around a king, they all were there. And you recall what was the result in verse 24. Yet they, having burned, look at the end of verse 23. Well, I'll read verse 23. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire. And that was on the hearth, the little fiery heating pot, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. Verse 24, yet they were not afraid. There's the same word, only this group, the princes, are all terrified of what's coming. They believed. But this group with the king thought it was, they mocked it. And they did nothing. There's nothing to be afraid of, etc. And that's what they did. So here they are, king just threw it away as if it was nothing. And we share together that. Now, and then three of the princes and others, part of the staff in the temple, three of them tried to get the king not to burn the roll. Verse 25, don't burn the roll. On the other hand, verse 26, the king picked three to go hunt down and find Jeremiah and Baruch and get them and put them in prison and he would have killed them. That's what he did. So that's, you got the little bit of background for the moment. Now, point, what are we looking at? What do we need to get? They were afraid. They weren't afraid. The people didn't pay any attention to be afraid or not afraid. They just sort of, so what? Nothing's going to happen. Now, so God, you got to help us. So in the light of that, exercise. Exercise the wonderful, wonderful treasure. The wonderful, wonderful treasure. Now we did that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. That wonderful, wonderful, exceedingly awesome treasure that God puts himself in the human heart and he becomes and he is the treasure. Now, hang on. God, how does that work in the light of being afraid? And you know this, I'm just going to review it because it's so important. Over, if I can, to have the exercise. Over, if you would, over to Deuteronomy and the starting point for just quickly to do it. And you'll remember it. Deuteronomy chapter 4. After the given their, God gives them their assignment. And then he warns them. And here, we're going to look at it, chapter 4, Deuteronomy, verse 10. Speedily the day, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God at Horeb, Mount Sinai, when the Lord said unto me, gather me all the people together, and I will make them hear my words, which is what Baruch did in chapter 36 of Jeremiah. Again, the middle of verse 10. Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Why purpose that they may learn to fear me all the days, that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, so right in the middle of verse 10, I want them to learn to fear my name. Gotta help to God. So God, you gotta help us to learn to fear God. And the word fear is a little different word than you read in afraid in 36. And this word has to do with a reverence, a terror, trembling is the same root for the words. But this one carries a little further in the fear of God. And this has to do with trembling. And thus, when it comes to God, a reverence, to feel awe, to have an awe of God. God is awesome. To have God's awesomeness, we're in his presence. Now, have God's awesomeness. And so therefore, it has reverence to respect, reverence. And what's it do when you put all that together? To say fear. Fear is having a healthy, heavenly, happy expectancy that God is going to be always, forever who he is. And all of God's word, John 5 and 39, God said, the Lord said, if you want to know about life, L-I-F-E, the scriptures, that's what we're looking at, Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures are all about me. So why do we've said all this? We're reading the scriptures, we're looking at God's word, we're in the presence of God. And how do we understand the invisible God who we can't see, touch, taste, or smell. Can't see him. That's why he gave us his word. So we read his word. It's all about, and think of Luke 24 and all of those different things, where all the scriptures are about him. So we read the word. And what are we going to do when we read the word? We're going to be conscious of God. We're going to have a healthy fear of God. We've got to be conscious of danger to be afraid. Conscious of something to be afraid, to have fear. Fear of what? Well, I guess there's a hurricane down there in Mexico or something. Oh, that's a fear, Here comes the hurricane. Over in Israel, a fear. Yeah, we've got to have that. So here we are looking, that's the word, fear. That, then underline a sentence that make it, God, you have given us your word, so why? That we can understand your awesome person. God's word brings us to a sense of God. The sense of God changes, affects my character and my conduct. If I'm conscious of God, it affects me everywhere. That's the word fear. It affects me. God. Conscious of God. A fear of God that results in making my mood and movement looking to God in a healthy way. That's the fear of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. I want them to learn to fear me. You don't just have it, you learn it. You learn to have a healthy respect. When I think of my dad back 10 years ago, and actually as I grew, I'm a little boy, had to be a little boy, and in growing up, I learned to respect and my father. I respected him. He worked two jobs, etc. He did what he did. I respected him. When I was 6 years old, I didn't know how to respect him. I had to grow to respect him. I had to learn to respect him. I need to learn to fear God. It isn't natural. You'll learn it. Why? Because fear is essential. Look at it again. Chapter 5. You remember that? In chapter 5, at the giving of the Ten Commandments, and God said after he gave the Ten Commandments, the people didn't understand what he said, and they said, all that you say God will do, but they couldn't do it anyway, but they said it. And therefore God knew that they didn't get the message. They had to trust God's grace and God's mercy. So when you come to chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 29 directly, oh, God said, oh, that there were such an heart in them. They had no heart. That purpose, they would fear me. Oh, that they would fear me. But they don't. They don't. They don't fear me. And keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. The benefit to the society would have been wonderful if they just kept his word. They had to learn it. And we've said all these things. We're repeating them to myself and you because I need to understand. The fear of God requires a mind that's going to keep God, being God conscious. Think of Abraham, Genesis 17, etc. And Abraham walked, God said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, single-hearted. Walk before me and keep me right in front. Don't lose sight. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, we run the race that's set before us. I don't want to lose. Don't want to lose sight. God, I don't want to lose you. God, thank you. Thank you. Hang on. Now, over to chapter 31. And you recall. And chapter 31 again, verse 12. Gather all the people. They haven't crossed the Jordan yet. They're still in the wilderness. Verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. In other words, anyone that's alive and human, make sure they're present. That they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Make sure everyone hears and understand the arrangement. What are we going to do in the presence of God? We're going to learn to fear him. Verse 13, and that their children who have not known anything may hear. And what are the children supposed to do? Learn to fear the Lord God. And that's what we try to do. We don't understand because we just have to trust God. But that's our inheritance. I haven't given anybody anything, but I want to give them an understanding. I have a fear of God. Learn that from me. I have a fear of God. I know nothing else, but I have that. Now, no offense, so do you. But we're all to have it. Now, if I can, and you'll notice in the end, let me do the 13 again, and may learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So, and having said that, one other place to remind you, over to Deuteronomy 17, remember the kings. The last four kings of Judah are all bad. They go from bad to bad to bad. They aren't good. Now, what was the problem with the kings of the 10 tribes in the north and the 2 tribes in the south? What was the problem? Well, what God told them when they had no king and they didn't even have a thought of a king, God told them, you're going to have a king because that's what you're going to end up wanting in the days of Samuel. You're going to want a king. And you remember chapter 17, verse 14, and when thou shalt come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. So God told them before they ever got anywhere, what they're going to say? You're going to say, God, we want a king like everybody else. He told them. And so as you read verse 15 and 16 and 17, now what are you going to tell the king? Verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest and the Levites. In other words, here they have the law, Genesis, Deuteronomy. Verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. What is he going to do every day? He reads and makes a copy of what he reads. So when he's done, if he was doing it right, he's going to end up with a Bible. his own personal handwritten copy. That's how he's going to record. How many kings did that? How many kings? How many people did that? See, lock it in. Make sure he reads every day and writes what he reads, so it sticks with his head and heart all the more. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can. So, now, looking back, here's Jeremiah 36. Now, what about them? Here's the fear of God, and the fear of God is missing. It's just missing. So, when God judges Jerusalem, there is no fear. There's afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid. No, so would, if you were in Israel and they did all those horrendous things, wouldn't you have been afraid? Wouldn't you have been afraid as they come in and were cutting off the heads and feet of people, and there you are, you're next? You might be afraid. They were afraid. The problem was, they had lost the fear of God that would help them, but they didn't have a fear of God. And that's true today, in part, I'm sure. Now, over for you, please, Jeremiah, to see it. Jeremiah in chapter 2. And you will notice, in Jeremiah chapter 2, looking at their failure to fear God. Jeremiah chapter 2, a little thing to set the course. Verse 13, what was Israel's problem? For my people, 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. What are they? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have substituted, think of leaving God out and getting into idolatry. They have substituted, hewed them out, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water, hoping they can collect the rain and have the water system work. And the water system never answered, could never answer what God did, would do in giving them living water. But they substituted. Verse 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know, therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and, note, that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. There is no fear in you. They had no fear. No awe of God. They didn't sense it. So what happens? All the phobias, all the fears, and all we're going to do, we're living in a world that's creating lots of fears at the moment. In our own country, across the globe, a lot of fears, a lot of things. Wow. And here we just had Brother Levy will go here. And in the process, I think I heard today somewhere, somehow, something, that the Chinese were moving and influencing, exercising their power on the Philippines. So lots of stuff going on, lots of stuff. Stressful, very stressful. So what? We have a fear, and rightly so. And even in our own country, some people understand A can lead to B. The Chinese historian, whatever, you said it, he's concerned about America because all the people coming across the border are already in place. Everything's in place. China has it. So if they want to do something, They could do all kinds of things, and we are unable to cope with that. Well, that's fear. The fear of God overrides all of that. But if you don't have a sense of God, then it's hard. Now, and just being religious and going to church isn't going to do it. You've got to have it going in your heart. That's what God's Deuteronomy 5 and 29. They didn't have a heart for God. So now, chapter 2. Chapter 2 we did. Over to chapter 5. You'll catch it. Just to give it a little bit more substance. Chapter 5. Picking up, please, in verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Why don't you fear me? Will you not tremble at my presence? Fear, trembling, quaking. Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for a bound of the sea? By a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over. Here's the thing in hurricane in Mexico, and the water comes up. But you know what? It can't stay there. It must go back. Why can't the ocean just charge? It's bound, said God. I bound it. I put boundaries. That's why it doesn't change. It stays right where I put it. You ought to fear, God said. If I control the oceans, you ought to fear me. Wow. Now, having said that, sliding down verse 23. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They have revolted and gone. Verse 24, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. You don't hear that. You got your ear out? Say, let's hear it. Let's fear God. Who's saying it? Where are we hearing it? It's awful quiet. We don't hear any fear of God. Think of Revelation 14 in that. God says out of heaven, you better fear me to the world. The world isn't fearing God. You better fear me. Now, picking up, please, in the light of that, verse 24. I'll read it again. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, and in his season, he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. In other words, God makes it all work, and you're leaving God out of the picture. You don't want to leave God out of the picture. Chapter 13. What's Israel's problem? They have no fear of God. That's why they're going to get clipped. They had no fear. Chapter 13, if I can, verse 14. Well, no, let me do verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. And you wanted to leave God out, and the trouble gets more troublesome and more troublesome. It doesn't get brighter, it gets darker. It makes things good. But where's God? Where's God? Where's the fear of God? Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so no fear of God is very, very costly. Israel right now is there, and God's going to be through God. We know God's a wonderful plan for Israel, and all of it's going to take place. So that's what we got. Jeremiah confirms, God's word confirms, it's all going to come out good. But in the process, it's a very difficult time, a very hard time. And so in the Six-Day War, think of all the different events in Israel since 1948. And here we are looking, God, you've done miracles in their victories. So they're going to get clipped, the North, Hezbollah, Iran, they're surrounded. The other countries are backing off, Jordan and each thing, Saudi Arabia, backing off. What are we going to do, God? What can we pay for Israel? God, be merciful and gracious, which we said the other day. God, be merciful and gracious. And God, that's how we got this far. In our goofs, in our blunders, in our stubbornness, in our stupidity, God, we've got this far. And the consequences of what we had done and do would really cut us out of business if it wasn't for your mercy and for your grace that got us this far. God, thank you. Now, therefore, in the light of all of that, so here we are looking, God, and all our humans, not only isn't it just Israel that's paying a price for no fear of God, but it is us humans in planet Earth, and we just mentioned that to remind ourselves that the whole globe, in one way or another, more or less, depending on what country you're in, what the background is, what the conditions are, it's going to be an exercise. Oh God, how's it going to go? Sliding over, if I can, over if you would, please. In your Romans in chapter 1. Oh, don't do Romans 1, 1, 2, 3. Romans chapter 3, the summation. Romans in chapter 3, picking up, please. Directly in the light of it all, in the light of the context, verse 18. 3:18, Romans. There is no fear of God before their eyes, generally. The people just don't have a fear of God. They have a religious sense of things, but they don't have a fear of God. Even to define God, the average person, if they're going to talk about God, are sort of stuck in giving a very good explanation about God because they don't understand very good. You know, well, maybe God's there, maybe he isn't there. You know, well, Romans chapter 3, verse 18, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth, all us human beings, may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Instead of trying to find excuses, religion, politics, and all kinds of ways, philosophy, we try to find all kinds of excuses. God said, I'm trying to help you understand. You're all guilty. You're all guilty. Now you need to get saved in a most wonderful way. Now, tying it together a little bit in the light of all, go with me, please, over to Isaiah. And I want you to note again the relevancy of what we keep turning to. Chapter Jeremiah and chapter 5. And you please note, we love darkness rather than light. We don't want to have. So how do we handle, remember we did in Sunday school, bitterness, Hebrews chapter 12. I trust you all got that, because that's the key. Apart from God, You have to outwork in your life. I don't care who you are, who we are. You've got to outwork bitterness. It's just there. It's you can't get away from it, and it doesn't go away. So I got to conquer that. Here's bitterness. How does the world conquer it? They don't want to look to God. Verse 20 again. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Turn everything upside down. Turn it upside down. So we're going to call evil good, and we're going to call darkness light. So what we're reading is evil. What we think is light is good. Good. You think, I have this, I read this book and I do this. That's good. What God says, bad. Now, having said that, in Isaiah, tie it together. Over if I can, please. In Isaiah, in chapter 33. Chapter 33, looking in the future, what's Israel going to do? They're going to have a healthy fear of God. They don't now, but they will. And that translate that, God, you're telling us they're going to have a wonderful fear. And it's one of my favorite things. Verse 6, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Of all the things, of all the valuable things, my fear of God, your fear of God, is the treasure of all treasures. I have a healthy fear of God, and you do. You can't replace it. It's a treasure. All the things of everything in life, nothing. God, the healthy, the fear, the feeling of awe. God, I'm awed at your awesomeness. Wow. Ever got that?